We're in the book of Daniel, fascinating book that most of us have heard of or heard stories out of. I have not preached through it as such. I've taken a lot of stories out of it, but I am finding new things that I never knew existed in this book, and it's been amazing to see the things. This is just into chapter 2. Israel was in disobedience to God's laws and to his instruction. They did not follow in obedience. And as a result, God sent the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar specifically, to come in, and he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take over Jerusalem and Judah and take captives with him back home of the Israelites and take them to his place of rule in Babylonia, in Babylon. Half of the book, this is kind of interesting, half of the content in the book is written in Aramaic. The rest of it's written in Hebrew. Now you say, big deal, right? Well, it's really kind of fascinating because it really has something to do with you and me. Because the Hebrew part of it really specifically talks to the Jews. It's still applicable to us, but it's instruction that the Jews need to take notice of. The scheme of things and God's sovereignty, this is God's plan. Pay attention, Israelites, pay attention. Then there's a section that starts in the passage we're going to cover today that's written in Aramaic, the trade language of the day in Babylon. Reason being, Daniel wants the Gentiles, those who are non-Jews, to understand this part with clarity. He wants you and I to pay attention at this section from chapter 2, clear on through chapter 7. I'm not going to cover all that today. I'm just going to cover this one short section this morning in chapter 2. Daniel wants to make it clear that we need to pay attention. It's a pay attention moment for us to specifically look for things that apply to us, the Gentile world and the nations that are ruling around Israel. And I want you to just listen as I tell the story this morning. And I will ask you to stand at a certain point in this story when we get to the point where Daniel has I think it's a song. It certainly looks like a song to me, a song of praise and worship. And if you can stand, I want to ask you to stand at that point and read with me, out loud with me, as we enter in that time of praise and worship. You'll see it when it comes up, I'll ask you to stand at that point as I tell the story. It was one night during the second year reign of Nebuchadnezzar that he had some disturbing dreams that robbed his sleep. So he called his magicians, he called his enchanters, he called his sorcerers, he called the astrologers. The Chaldeans were the ones that were known for their astrology, the studying of the stars. And he demanded that they tell him his dream. As they stood before the king, he said, "I have a dream, and I want you to tell me what the dream is, and I want you to tell me what it means." The astrologers answered the king in Aramaic. This is where it changes, and it's one of these pay attention moments. The astrologers answered the king and said, "Long live the king, long live the king. Tell us your dream, and we'll tell you what it means." But the king said to the astrologers, "I'm serious about this. I'm serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream is and its meaning, you'll be torn from limb to limb, and your houses will be reduced to rubble. Now tell me, what was my dream, and what does it mean?" They said again, the astrologer said again, "Please, your majesty, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means." And the king replied, "I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I'm on to you. You're stalling for time because you know that I'm serious when I said, if you don't tell me my dream and what it means, you're doomed. So you've conspired to tell me lies, hoping that I'll change my mind. But I'm not going to. Tell me my dream and what it means, or else." The astrologers said to the king, "Now, no one on earth could possibly tell you your dream. No king, however wonderful and great and mighty, would even ever ask such a thing of a magician or an enchanter or an astrologer. The king's demand is impossible. Impossible." No one except for the gods could tell you such a thing. And the gods don't even live with people. The king was furious. He was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men in Babylon be killed. And because of the king's decree, men were set out to find and kill Daniel and his friends. And Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came and found Daniel and his friends to kill them. But Daniel, it says, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. And he asked Arioch, why has the king issued such a crazy, harsh decree? And Arioch relayed to him what had happened. Daniel immediately went straight to the king, and he asked him for some extra time so that he could tell him what his dream was and meant. And then Daniel went to his home, found his friends, the God-fearing friends. He uses their God-fearing names, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And he says he urged them to ask the God of heaven, out of his mercy, that he would tell them the secret that they needed to know so that they wouldn't be executed with the rest of the Babylon wise men. That very night, the secret was revealed to Daniel. Daniel got up and praised the God of heaven. And this is where he broke out in a praise and worship song. And I want you to stand as we read this song together. If you can stand, read this and read this song with me. Praise the name of God forever and ever, for He has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in the darkness, though He is surrounded by light. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors, for You have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of You and revealed to us what the King demanded. Lord, as we open up Your word, what an amazing account of trusting in Your sovereign hand. Lord, speak to us through Your Spirit. Reveal to us what You want us to hear and understand this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. No way. There's absolutely no way. Can't happen. Short of a miracle, it ain't going to happen. Have you ever found yourself saying one or more of the above? It's in these times of chaos and crisis we need to remember to trust God. Daniel's story gives several keys to help us in that process of trusting in God in the middle of chaos. Daniel and the wise men of Babylon faced an impossible situation. There was no possible way, humanly speaking, that they could answer the king. No one could tell what the king dreamed. It's like, tell me what I'm thinking right now. You can't do it. It's impossible. This is insane that a king would ask his wise men, put them on the spot, and make them explain what he dreamed. It's impossible. What's your reactions when a crisis hits your life? We've had a couple crises this week. One specifically slammed our community. We never expected that. I know several of you are maybe facing some health issues that you got slammed with this news. The cancer has spread. How do you respond to those moments of crisis? I know it's numbing at the best when these crises hit. What do we do? Where do we go? Who do we turn to? Nebuchadnezzar wasn't born yesterday. He wasn't a dummy, and he told them that if he would have told them the dream, they could have conjured up some meaning, and who knows if it was good or bad or true or not. He had obviously probably been burned once before with his quote-unquote wise men conjuring up some kind of story and it not coming true. Not only did he demand that the dream be revealed, but that the meaning was to be explained as well. Failure to meet this demand would result in a grotesque death and their houses being reduced to rubble. He was serious. And Nebuchadnezzar wasn't exactly a straight-thinking man. He didn't care who was in his path. What was at stake here is not merely a contest between Daniel and the wise men of Babylon. What's at stake here is a cosmic battle between the true God and all these false gods of Babylon. Daniel knew this, and in verse 14, it says that Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. In the midst of chaos, we need to remember the importance of godly wisdom and discretion. This is the second test of Daniel's faith that is recorded in Daniel. I'm sure there are many others along the way, but this is the second test. Doesn't get a lot of attention, at least I haven't seen it, until I started digging now in this study. In the midst of chaos, we need to remember the importance of godly wisdom and discretion. Don't panic, like we just heard in the children's moment. Calculate the words to be said. Respond in wisdom. Great advice. Great advice whenever we face a crisis. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and then turn to the one who can help. Turn to the one who can help. Nebuchadnezzar sought out human wisdom through his wise men, the magicians and the enchanters and the sorcerers and the conjurers, astrologists, so that they could maybe contact the spirit world and find out what's going on here. Astrologers believe that, you know, the certain alignment of stars affect your life in certain ways. That's where we get the horoscopes from. Fortune tellers, crystal gazers, clairvoyant, psychic, spiritualist, medium, palm reader, and horoscopes, Ouija board, all those things add up to worldly, demonic wisdom. These are human attempts to gain access to the spirit world and to harness evil forces to produce supernatural effects. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, God forbids his people to go to these avenues to find information or to seek out advice or wisdom. And in verse 15 of chapter 18, they were to only listen to God's messengers. This is an impossible demand. Three times they try to convince the king to kind of give him a piece of his dream so that they can tell him what it is, what it means. But the king stood firm. I want you to tell me my dream and what it means. He knew that if they could tell him what his dream was, they had a supernatural connection because nobody on this earth could actually do that. In verse 11, it's kind of interesting that one. The king's demand is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you your dream. They don't even live here among the people. His own wise men admitted the fallacy of the whole situation, that these gods weren't even connected to us. They were disconnected. They're living somewhere else. In other words, they're saying, we have no connection. We have no real, authentic connection to the spirit world. We cannot do what you're asking, King Nebuchadnezzar. Doesn't work. Sometimes when we face crises in our lives, it has a way of revealing our fault areas. And it also shows our strengths. When Daniel hears the king's harsh decree, he handles the situation with wisdom and discretion. He works with the commanding officer, and he works with him. This guy came to kill Daniel and his friends, and Daniel immediately works by using his words wisely, chooses words wisely, and finds a way out of his predicament here. He goes directly to the king, and he asks for more time to reveal the dream. It's a good basis for the slogan, think before you speak. Daniel took wise caution in the words that he used. He contemplates what best response would work here, and using his God-given wisdom, and I deduct this from the context of this passage, he uses his God-given wisdom and he quickly devises a plan and acts with confidence only God could have given him in that moment. He was facing sure death. All too often when crises hit, we jump to conclusions. I found myself, even this week, in several different situations of different things happening in the week that I erringly jumped to some conclusions. And I had to confess it. I had to make things right. But all too often, when a crisis hits, we have a knee-jerk reaction. We say things without thinking. And we do things without thinking. And we resort to human-based wisdom in our attempt to find out what we should do. We need to learn from Daniel's example to think before we react. And we need to corporally go to the Lord for His mercies. We'll see here in a minute. And Proverbs 16:23 says, from a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Proverbs 13:16 says, wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. Psalm 141:3, the psalmist has a prayer, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. It's a good prayer, especially if you have problem saying things when you shouldn't be saying things. Lord, take control of what I say. Guard my lips. Proverbs, we see the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is only one source of true wisdom, and that is through Jesus Christ. James 1, verse 5 and 6. I want to read that passage. It just jumped out at me on this, in study of this passage. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do. Don't be consulting demonic sources and God's wisdom. It doesn't work. You reduce God to earthly wisdom when you resort to horoscope or palm reading or whatever it is you are trying to find out your future, a key to your future somewhere in there. And then you go to God and say, God, help me to understand your will. You're not going to receive anything, James says. Because your attention, your loyalty is divided. Do not be consulting demonic sources and God and expect him to answer you. And I know there's a lot of ways that we can go about this. There's so many ways to try to find wisdom. Maybe it's even through a talk show, seeing the wisdom of man to give you guidance. And then you go to God and say, God, I really want to know your will. Well, it doesn't work that way. You're giving conflicting information to your mind, and God says, don't expect to receive anything from me when you're going to those sources. James 1, 5 through 8. Also in James 1, 19, we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Proverbs 29, 20, there's more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. This situation was impossible. Jesus talks about an impossible situation. A rich man came to him and said, Lord, what must I do to get eternal life? And he goes through the thing, well, you need to, just to make a long story short, Jesus said, you got to sell all you own and then you can go into heaven. And the rich man walked away because money had a grasp on his soul. And then Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to buy his way into heaven than it is a camel to go through the eye of a needle. His disciples or the people around there said, well, who can go to heaven then? Who can go to heaven? It's impossible. Jesus said, what's impossible with man is possible through God. God made salvation possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can find salvation. We can find forgiveness for our sins and receive eternal life. To receive wisdom from God. That is the only source is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other source of wisdom. All else is fake wisdom. Deceptive wisdom. And another key that Daniel makes in his story here is that in the midst of chaos, we need to remember the importance of community and corporate prayer. So some key verses that I want to read again. Verses 17 and 18. Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah what had happened. And he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so that they would not be executed with the other wise men of Babylon. Community is vital to thrive in the midst of chaos and crisis. If you do not have connection to the community, I pity you as you go through your times of crisis and chaos. So we see here the community that Daniel had with his three friends gave him direction, gave him confidence. It gave him answers. It's not so much that we have advice to give you, that you're connected, that you need to be connected so that you get the advice that we have. No, really, the thing is, it's to be connected to community so that we can pray with you. You can pray for me, and there we can find God's wisdom. Matthew 18. It's a chapter about church discipline, and church discipline is really, it's one of the most difficult things of my job, my ministry, my position, whatever, the board's position, whatever. It's one of the most difficult things that we have to do that God has called us to do. It's one of the most difficult things you have to do when you confront a brother or sister in sin. It's difficult. And Jesus lays out a pattern of what you can do, a kind of a formula that you can use when approaching somebody that is in defiant sin, has done something wrong against you. And in that instruction, Jesus says in verses 19 through 20, where two or three are gathered there, and they're in agreement, I am in the midst of them, and whatever they ask, they will receive. This isn't a thing about a prayer. This is a formula for prayer. You know, get two people together and pray for a new car, and you'll get it. No, this is not what this is talking about. This is talking about a difficult situation in the church. You're at a crisis point. Somebody is defiantly disobeying God, and you have a responsibility to go to that individual, and several others go to that individual and surround them and confront them in their sin. And Jesus says, when you're in agreement of that and you come to me with your request, I'm going to answer that request, and I'm going to give you what you need. The same way with Daniel. He was in a crisis. And he goes to his friends, his God-fearing friends. I love those names, those God-fearing names that they had. And he goes to them and he says, he urges them. He says, guys, we need to pray about this. Wouldn't you be praying if you're facing being torn from limb to limb for not giving the king his answer? Community is the key to survival in this world. Daniel went to his friends, urging them to ask God to show them mercy. To show them mercy so that they wouldn't be put to death with the rest of them. Man, what a solid group of friends to face perilous times with. I remember in college, kind of isolated a little bit, but I was a social kind of guy, so I had a lot of friends. But I came upon a crisis in my life. Doctor told me I had a tumor on my leg. It was painful, and I was a little bit worried at that point. He said, you might lose your leg. We might have to take your leg. And I knew a guy on campus that he was an amputee, and, kind of stop. And I didn't know what to do. But I remember Sam. Sam was my RA. And I told him what my situation was, and he and I think it was assistant RA and several others sat down with me in my dorm room, and we prayed. Boy, that's probably the first time that I prayed with really pouring out my heart to God. And I said, God, okay, leg or no leg, I'm yours. That's as simple as it is. I laid it out there. That's what my commitment was. I know some of you know family members that are facing some tough roads. Still have my legs. They went in and couldn't find anything. I know some of you are facing some crazy times in your health. Family members are facing some crazy times in your health. It's a crisis point. I know Isaac is facing some tough weeks ahead. Ricardo's facing an extremely tough week ahead. These are people that are our brothers and sisters. We have a huge responsibility, like Michelle, Azariah, and Azariah to do the work of prayer for these individuals. There's other people that we put out requests for, but those two, I'm laying before you today, right now, as you're communing with the Holy Spirit to pray for God's hand to be upon their lives. And anyone else that's laid on your heart to do that right now, just lift them up to the Lord. Ask for His mercy in these situations. Thank you, Lord. We need community. We need prayer support to encourage us to trust God when the wheels come off. So easy to react and go to some other source, go to a friend and seek their advice quickly and see what they say. And if I get three people to agree on something that I should do, then I'll do it. And that may not be what God's asking you to do. You need to go to the Lord, and that's where the brothers and sisters in Christ can do that with you. That very night, Daniel's prayers were answered. Their prayers were answered. He got the, in a vision, he got the meaning, the dream and the meaning. We're going to look at that next week, Lord willing. I'm telling you, this is an interesting one. It has to do with us, the nations surrounding Israel. And I think it is very relevant for us today. Daniel could have arrogantly taken responsibility for this information. Look what King, I'm going to tell you what you, look at me. I have some information that you need. Ain't I good? But you know what he did? Instead, he broke out. Man, I don't think he just stood there like we see the Daniel pictures. I bet you he was jumping up and down and praising God with such enthusiasm, acknowledging God's sovereign control over human, all these human nations and institutions that were around. In the midst of chaos, we need to remember what Daniel did. We need to remember the importance of praise and worship. We need to humble ourselves and seek His face. And when we do that, He will restore what has been stolen by the devil. Restore freedom where we have been captive. That night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel, verse 19. Verse 20, Daniel acknowledges that God alone is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He acknowledges God's sovereign control over all the nations. He takes kings out and he puts kings in. He lets Nebuchadnezzar run over Israel and he takes them out when he wants to take them out. God's sovereign control over all things. He is the one, verse 21, He is the one who gives wisdom and knowledge. Verse 22, nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing is hidden from Him. Even though He is surrounded by light, He still knows what goes on in the dark. You do not have a compartment in your life that is hidden from God's knowledge. There's no way, no place you can run and hide away from God's presence. He knows everything that is going on in your soul. That's the incredible God that we serve. Daniel is so thankful for God giving him not only wisdom, but strength to deal with the situation at hand. To go boldly before the king and say, hey, give me some time. I'll get you your answer. Just give me a few minutes. Give me another day, and I'll get you your answer. And God gives him the answer. What an incredible reminder to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep our focus on Him, not get distracted onto earthly wisdom and earthly knowledge and a friend's advice over God's advice. We don't need to get distracted on those things. We need to continue to focus on Jesus Christ. What are some more lessons that we can learn? What a wonderful, this is a wonderful model of worship. Do you engage in worship like this? I wish we could. That's what I desire for you to come and engage in worship like this. Praise the name of God forever and ever. He has all wisdom and power. He controls everyone and everything that is going on. Nothing is news to Him. He gives wisdom to all those who ask. Praise the name of God. Do we come with the same awe and wonder in our times of worship? I'll admit I don't. I need to. Do we acknowledge God's control over our situations? Sometimes it's awful hard. I couldn't explain the events that transpired this week. I can't give an explanation, but I do know that nothing is a surprise to God. Everything went before God before it happened this last week. God allows, He's been allowing evil to take place, and it's only because He's patiently waiting for us to turn to Him. It's not like He's an evil God. He's a gracious God that allows this world to continue on, that you and I have opportunities to turn and repent from what we've done and make things right with God and others and find life. It's a part of His grace. Do we immediately go to God seeking His wisdom in our situation, or are we playing around with human or demonic practices? It's an eternal battle for the soul, people. The devil is not dumb. He will use deception in any corner that he possibly can to get your eyes off Jesus Christ. That's where we need prayer, corporate prayer, prayer times with each other. We need to establish some more prayer times. I really appreciate the prayer chain and how that gets out so many different places, and people are praying for these things, but we need more corporate prayer, what God wants us to do. We need to spend more times in small groups praying about the situations that we're facing and dealing with. So when we seek God's wisdom, and the impossible becomes possible. The impossible becomes possible. Daniel 2, verse 20. Let me close with that. Praise the name of God forever and ever, for He has all wisdom and power. Amen.